Opening up this Agriculture Today, we'll glance once again to the grain market trends. And our guest has just put together his latest what-if analysis for the corn and wheat markets. Dan O'Brien joins us via phone now from his office in Colby, Northwest Kansas. He is, of course, Research and Extension Grain Market Economist with the university. Dan, what you've done is you've taken both the corn and wheat trades and not only drawn from the latest USDA supply and demand numbers, but you've tossed in here some extra considerations for these markets to chew on. Starting with corn, what might those considerations be?
Well, I think you have to start first with what the USDA had projected of 170.7 bushels per acre, and use the results of the acreage report on June 30th, as is, without any adjustments for prevented planting or anything, took those numbers straight out and came up with a yield figure, and then built the rest of their supply-demand balance sheet and their prices off of that. The August 10th report, as you and I have talked, Eric, is going to be awfully important because it'll be the first in-field enumeration of actual plot samples and survey of farmers that we actually get. So would not be surprised that 170.7 bushel per acre figure could end up and be higher than we actually end up seeing for the final U.S. corn yield. Hence, the production numbers, instead of being 14.2, 14.3, could be a lot closer to 13.8, 13.6. If we get a more trendline-ish type of yields, 165, 167 bushels per acre. And by the way, those are some of the numbers you're seeing from some respected private analysts. Landworth, groups like that have come out and talked in those areas. The USDA scenario that they presented with, again, production of 14.255 billion, ending stocks 2.325, then you're looking at a price of about $3.30. But if you start plugging in these lower yields, again, 165, 167, production closer to 13.6, 13.8 billion bushels, ending stocks below 2 billion, closer to something basically between 1.9 and 2, and you end up with prices at least moderately higher. Again, 355, 360 as an average instead of that USDA projection of 330. Really, the bigger issues, the possibility for greater moves would be if the drought conditions we're seeing in the northern plains and other crop maladies we've heard of in different areas, if they're widespread enough to bring the yields, below that mid-160 area to down to 160 or 150. And again, I think you'd have to see really intense heat and crop damage occur. But still, there's a chance of that happening, probably a 10% chance of something in 150 to 160 range. Then you've got production down to 13.2, 12.3, 12.4 billion bushels in ending stocks. And then you're starting to get prices in the 380 to 420 area, et cetera.
It's been mentioned many times that the cure for low prices is low prices. So on the demand side for corn, you are seeing indications that we can move more product either through export channels or through domestic use, given the fact that it's a buyer's market right now.
Yes, our usage of corn is tremendous. And normally, university people aren't supposed to make hyperbole-laden statements like that, but it's been tremendous. The USDA's projection was about 14.35 billion bushels. We were at basically 14.6 last year. We had never been above 13.7, 13.6, 13.5 in any previous year. So, yes, we have large supplies, but the low prices have really helped on the usage side to where we're in the neighborhood of 14.4, 14.6 billion bushels of corn usage. And that is great, and you remain at low prices as long as you don't have a short crop. But now we've got the demand base built on low prices, and we have cattle in the feedlots, we have grain ethanol plants running full bore, we have corn usage overseas going at a good pace because of relatively low prices. So what you have in a situation like that is, if you do come into a summer where you do shock the system and fall short by 1 or 2 billion bushels and start to really tighten up stocks, then you start to see prices really jump around.
Well, Dan, what wild cards are in play within your latest wheat market analysis here and the price probabilities that you've put together?
Well, you've got a lot of pessimism that's been affecting the wheat market for several years in a row that are starting to erode a little bit. I guess what I'm talking about is again, we've seen on the supply side, on the production side, 3 or 4 years in a row of ratcheting back of total U.S. wheat acreage. Again, we have planted acreage numbers that are as low as we've seen since the early 1900s to the north of us in the Hard Red Spring area. They're having major production problems. And again, normally, in the normal course of things, we take the higher protein Hard Red Spring supplies, mix them with lower protein Hard Red Winter Wheat, and in some cases Soft Red, depending on what the millers are trying to make from those supplies, and again, be able to get the appropriate proteins. Well, now, again, up in that area, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and actually up into Canada area, where durum and Hard Red Spring are grown, we have, you know, very, very serious drought and real questions about what type of crop we'll get out of those areas. So with that, we're looking at signals here of how that's affecting our market. And you look to the processor bids in Wichita, again, off the USDA Ag Marketing Service reports. These were from earlier this week. You're looking at protein premiums from 11% to 12% protein, basically seeing a 5 over futures bid for 11% protein, a 55 over bid for 12%, and a 95 over bid for 13. So at the processors, we're rewarding wheat with good protein, and I think that we can trace a lot of that back, no doubt, to high protein wheat supply risk that we're seeing up in the northern U.S. and Canadian areas. Again, we just not going to have the amount of higher protein spring wheat that we normally use to blend. So any wheat that we have around here that has decent protein, this would seem to be the year we find the reward of it.
Other than that, as you put together your potential price scenarios, it will take quite a bit of something to happen for wheat prices to get much above $5, will it not?
Yeah, really, the big issue out there is that, is this the year when dry conditions in various parts of the world, the other major growers actually have enough of an impact that the world is forced to come back to the United States with our relatively high currency and actually buy wheat from us? And, you know, there is that scenario out there where instead of the USDA's projection of 975 million bushels of exports that through some combination of drought in Ukraine, which they have, dry conditions in Australia, which they have, if these places have enough challenges about them that the world has to come and buy from the U.S. Well, instead of 975 million, you're up to 1.2 billion, and we've been there in some of our better export years. If that comes into play, then instead of the USDA's projection of 480 per bushel for this 17-18 marketing year, a range of 440 to 520, we'd be looking at something closer to $6 a wheat. You know, what's the chance of that? There's still probably a 1 in 5 chance of that happening. But to what degree do people that have wheat now that they've just harvested, to what degree do they wait to see if that scenario comes about? You know, to be objective, it's probably a 1 in 5 chance that that could happen. There are other things that could come about. The USDA's projection of 46.2 is down markedly from what we'd seen in earlier months, down from 52.6 last year for yields. And if we come in at more of a 5-year average yield, and again, it's a roll of the dice right now. We really don't know how badly damaged that crop up to the north is. So if we get a 5-year average yield or they have a real washout up to the north, well, then we start looking at lower production. Prices are closer, instead of 480, 505, 535, something like that.
We are due a renewed look at the basis levels around Kansas, and you've picked out 2 points in the state to consider here, and whether those levels, particularly for wheat, but maybe across the board, are moving more toward the producer favor.
Well, for corn, if you look at the key locations that we tend to watch representing east and west, Salina on the one hand, Garden City on the other, corn basis in the Salina area, sideways to, in recent weeks, just a hair lower. Out in Garden City for corn, basis bids continue to steadily improve, getting closer to even. And grain sorghum basis in Salina, it's actually been sideways to improving. Had been really good in the spring area, it's fallen back off, and now is holding steady to improving again for this year. For the Garden City area also, good grain sorghum basis movement relative to where it had been coming out of the late winter into early spring by about 40 to 50 cents, sideways to slightly lower here in recent weeks. For wheat, We were running tremendous in terms of the improvement we were seeing in wheat basis in these Saline and Garden City locations until about 1 or 2 weeks ago, and then started to see basis weaken, particularly in the Salina area. Garden City area, somewhat, not as much weakening as in the Salina locations. For soybeans, continuing their trend, just very, very steady basis from the first of the year on in both the Salina and Garden City locations we've been watching. It doesn't look like we'll see a lot of change in basis bids in either the Salina, Garden City, or the broader Kansas area for beans.
Dan, thanks as always, and we'll be back with you next Friday.
Appreciate Thank you, Eric. Take care.
He is Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien. And you're listening to Agriculture Today.